Let's open with Ukraine, because the scale of what's happening there deserves real attention. The headline, Ukraine has struck 159 Russian Shadow Fleet vessels in 12 days, is the kind of number that requires unpacking. For listeners unfamiliar with the Shadow Fleet concept, Russia has assembled a network of aging, often unregistered tankers operating under obscure flags of convenience, primarily to export oil in defiance of Western sanctions. These ships are the financial backbone of Russia's war machine. They're how Moscow has continued to fund military operations despite G7 price caps and formal embargo measures.
And Ukraine has found a way to systematically target them. The 159 figure in 12 days is roughly 13 ships per day, which suggests this isn't opportunistic. It's a coordinated campaign. The methods being reported include maritime drone strikes and long-range missile systems, and the operational tempo points to significant intelligence support helping Ukraine locate and track these vessels. What makes this strategically significant isn't just the hardware lost, it's the insurance and reinsurance implications. After a certain number of sinkings, legitimate insurers won't touch these ships, and the Shadow Fleet loses its operational viability, even for the vessels that survive.
That's exactly the economic pressure point. And it's compounded by a separate development this week, Ukraine destroying a Russian bomber at a Crimea airbase. That one matters for a different reason. Crimea has functioned throughout this war as what Russian military doctrine would call a sanctuary, a rear area where strategic assets could be staged and serviced with some confidence. Each confirmed strike on Crimean military infrastructure erodes that confidence and forces Russia to push those assets further east, which degrades their operational effectiveness.
Now set alongside this, the Kremlin's response to Turkey's push for renewed peace negotiations. Moscow has officially declared there are no immediate prospects for talks, even as Ukraine proposed hosting a Zelensky-Putin summit in Istanbul. The Istanbul format has historical weight. It's where the closest thing to a framework agreement was nearly reached in March and April of 2022, before those talks collapsed. Turkey's renewed push reflects Ankara's persistent effort to position itself as an indispensable mediator, which serves Turkish economic and geopolitical interests regardless of outcome.
The Kremlin's dismissal is consistent with a pattern we've seen throughout. Russia engages in diplomatic signals when it's losing territory or momentum, and dismisses them when it believes it has tactical initiative. The Shadow Fleet campaign and the Crimea strike suggest Ukraine is currently applying pressure. Whether that translates into any movement toward negotiation is a different question. And I wouldn't read the Turkish initiative as likely to bear fruit in the near term, given where military conditions stand.
Which brings us to the third front in today's geopolitical picture. And this one has global supply chain implications. The Houthis in Yemen are reportedly laying groundwork to shut the Bab el-Mandeb Strait on behalf of Iran. The Bab el-Mandeb is the narrow choke point between Yemen and Djibouti, through which roughly 12% of global seaborne trade passes, including significant volumes of European-bound oil from the Gulf. The Houthis have already been targeting commercial shipping since late 2023. What's new here is reporting that Iran is actively orchestrating a more comprehensive closure, not just a tax of opportunity, but a sustained blockade strategy.
For oil markets, the combination of the Iran conflict backdrop, Houthi activity, and any credible threat to Bab el-Mandeb is exactly why we're seeing traders flock to option strategies, including what the market is apparently calling the taco hedge, to protect against Iran-driven price swings. We'll get into the specific market mechanics in our business segment, but the geopolitical setup for elevated oil prices is clear. And the irony is that while the West is trying to strangle Russian oil revenue through the Shadow Fleet campaign, a Bab el-Mandeb closure would actually raise global oil prices and potentially benefit producers, including Russia. These dynamics don't resolve cleanly.
One more international thread before we move on. Mexico's President Sheinbaum has formally condemned the death of a Mexican migrant in a Florida ICE encounter. This is part of a pattern of bilateral friction that we'll pick up in more detail in the domestic politics segment, because it intersects with the Trump administration's public charge rule revival and the DHS voter registration claims. The diplomatic dimension shouldn't be lost. Sheinbaum has been more assertive than her predecessor in criticizing U.S. immigration enforcement publicly, and that has real implications for the USMCA relationship and cross-border cooperation.